Well, hello everyone, and once again, this is your radio evangelist, Minor Hawk, greeting you in the name of God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And friends, I'm so grateful to God today for this another opportunity to preach the gospel of the grace of God. You know, friends, the door of God's mercy is going to be shut one of these days. Yes, the second coming of Jesus Christ, I believe, is very, very near. And when He comes again, it will mean that the saved or the born-again children of God, whether dead or alive, will rise to meet their Lord in the air. It'll be a time of separation, too, because we read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, and beginning at verse 34, that two shall be in one bed, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two shall be working in the fields, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Now tell me, friend, if the Lord Jesus Christ should come today, would you be taken, or would you be left? Would you be left behind for the divine judgment of a holy God? Oh, I hope not. You know, I believe it's going to be a terrible thing for anyone who has heard the gospel and rejected Christ as their Savior to be left behind when He comes again. Well, friend, there's no need for you to be left behind, because the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to take you to heaven too if you'll only trust Him as your Savior and your Lord. Yes, if you'll humble yourself in God's sight and trust in the sin-cleansing blood of God's Son, then you'll be saved and born again, and therefore you'll be ready for the coming of the Lord. I don't doubt but what there are many Christian parents out there in Radio Land today, and you have unsaved loved ones who'd be left behind if Jesus came today. Well, friends, I want you to know that God is still on the throne, and I'm praying every day that God will save the unsaved families of God's children before it's eternally too late. Never give up, Christian friend. Remember, God is more concerned about the poor unsaved than you and I could ever be. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in Thy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy Son. We thank Thee for His condescending grace. We thank Thee for His perfect walk while here upon the scenes of earth. But we thank Thee most of all for His death at Calvary's cross. It was there that they crucified Him, He who knew no sin, being made sin for us, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And Father, we think of the day of grace extended and pray Thy blessing upon Thy word about to be read and spoken from. Lord, we believe that the second coming of Christ is very near, and there are those of our loved ones still outside the fold. Father, pluck them as brands from the burning. Save them before it's eternally too late. We'll be careful to give Thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Now, before getting into the message today, let's listen to my favorite hymn, and it's entitled, When the Roll is Called Up Yonder, I'll Be There.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all His wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder.
Friends, I for one sure thank God that when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Yes, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I was saved by the grace of God back on June the 2nd of 1952, and since that time, I've been on the narrow road going to heaven. Before that, I was on the broad road going down to the pit of hell. And friend, if you're on that broad road today, I want you to know that you'd better get off soon. Yes, you'd better get off soon, or you're going to drop into the pit to weep and wail and gnash your teeth throughout the endless ages of all eternity. Now then, today I'd like for you to notice what we have found in John's Gospel, chapter 14. You have your Bibles or New Testaments handy and care to follow me in the Scriptures. I'll be reading from John's Gospel, chapter 14, a well-known portion to most of you listening in, I'm sure. Beginning at verse 1 of John, chapter 14. Jesus Christ is speaking and he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Now, friends, today I want to bring to you the first of a two-part series of messages dealing with the most important event which I believe is about to take place. Yes, I want to discuss with you a most solemn and timely subject. I want to talk to you today about the second coming of Jesus Christ. I believe that it's a topic which is too seldom spoken of from pulpits in America today. This basic and fundamental doctrinal truth is supposedly held dear by both the Protestant and Catholic churches. Most non-denominational churches in America today also believe in the second coming of Christ. The Jews, of course, don't believe that Jesus Christ was their long-awaited Messiah, so they are still waiting for the Anointed One, not realizing that he has already come and has died on the old rugged cross. Now, to give you some idea of just how important the doctrine of the second coming is, listen to this. The Lord's Supper, or communion as it is sometimes called, is mentioned 5 times in the Word of God. Just 5 times. The ordinance of baptism by the scriptural method of total immersion is mentioned only 19 times in the Word of God. Just 19 times. The glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is mentioned 40 times in the Word of God. 40 times. Now, friends, the comparative infrequency of mentioning the ordinances or the resurrection of Jesus Christ from amongst the dead in no way detracts from divine truth or the esteem in which we as God's people hold these God-given facts. But listen to this, friends. Listen. The second coming of Jesus Christ is mentioned 568 times in the Word of God. It is the most predominant doctrine found in the Bible. Now, I didn't say that it's the most important doctrine. Make sure you understand me, friend. Because no doctrine can surpass or supersede the doctrine of the gospel and all that that entails. No, the most important doctrine is the fact that God, in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for our sin. He was buried and rose again the 3rd day and is now seated and exalted on a heavenly throne. I might mention, too, that of the 303 verses in the book of Hebrews, 36 refer to the second coming of Christ. There are 27 books in the New Testament, and 22 of those books refer directly to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Only Galatians, Ephesians, Philemon, and the second and third epistles of John do not specifically refer to the second coming of Christ. And finally, it is estimated that 1/15 of the entire Bible refers to the second coming of Christ. So you see, my friends, it is a very important subject and one that requires our utmost and immediate attention. Now, before getting any further, I want the listener to understand that the second coming of Jesus Christ is divided into 2 parts, the rapture and the revelation. The rapture, or snatching away of the church, the truly born-again Christians, whether dead or alive, could happen at any time. There need be not one prophecy fulfilled before the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the air to call from the world his own. The next great event on the prophetic calendar of God, my friend, is the rapture of the church, and it could be today. Now, following the rapture of the church, there will be at least 7 years of what the Bible calls tribulation. During this period of tribulation, gross sin and iniquity will abound on every hand. and it will pave the way for the manifestation of the Antichrist, under whose administration the world will rapidly ripen for judgment. And friends, I personally believe that the Antichrist is already alive on the earth today. At the end of the tribulation period, and just when everything seems to be dark and desperate, the Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed as he stands again upon the Mount of Olives. He comes forth as victor over the forces of evil. And according to Revelation chapter 20 and verse 3, the devil is cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, during which time the millennial reign of Jesus Christ takes place upon the earth. Now, I can't help but think that there are some Christians listening in today, and you are suffering in mind or body or spirit. Well, brother or sister in Christ, it won't be long now. No, it won't be long now. Jesus is coming again. To you Christians who are suffering temptations, testings, trials, and discouragements, be patient, my friend. Jesus is coming again. To you Christians who are physically blind and living in the world of darkness, to you I say, look up. Yes, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh, because Jesus is coming again. To you Christians who have had to leave the grave of your Christian parents, your spouse, or children, and have had to return to your home now void of their presence and love, rejoice, my friend. Jesus is coming again. And then there may be some Christians listening to my voice today, and you're so lonely. You've suffered reproach and perhaps persecution for the name and sake of Christ. Hold fast, I say, because Jesus is coming again. Yes, I read in Hebrews 10 and verse 37, yet a little while, then he that shall come, and will not tarry. You know, friends, in the New Testament, the second coming of Jesus Christ is referred to as the Christian's hope 53 times. Did you hear that? 53 times. In Titus 2 and verse 13 we read, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In Colossians 1 and verse 27 we read, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And back in 1 John chapter 3 verses 2 and 3, here's what we read. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Did you hear that? And every man that hath this hope in him, meaning Jesus Christ, purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Christian friends, what I've just read should make your day. Yes, it should make your day. Your heart and soul, redeemed by the blood of Christ, should be overflowing with gratitude and thanksgiving unto God for his unspeakable gift. Yes, thank God for his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming again. He's coming again. But how about you who are listening in today and you've never been saved or born again? How about you? Can you rejoice in the knowledge of sins forgiven? Have your sins been washed away by the blood of Christ? Do you have the time in your life when you were born again from above into the family of God? You know, my friend, if you're really saved and born again, you know when, where, and how you trusted Christ as your Savior. You know how you were born into the family of God. You may forget the day of the week, or even, my friend, the month of the year, but you'll never forget the experience when you passed from spiritual death unto spiritual life. When you left the broad road and went on to the narrow road, when Jesus Christ came into your heart and soul as well as into your life. Friend, do you have the assurance of eternal life in heaven? And tell me, friend, if Jesus Christ should come today, and he may, would you be taken to heaven or would you be left behind for divine judgment? Well, friend, I can't see your soul, and I'm not your judge, but I am your friend. Yes, I'm your friend, and in love for your soul, I can tell you that if you've never been born again by the Holy Spirit and Word of God, then you'd be left behind if Jesus came right now. Yes, and you'd be as sure of hell as though you were already there, weeping and wailing and gnashing your teeth. Now, perhaps there's someone listening in today, and you honestly believe that you're on your way to heaven. You've been baptized, confirmed, or dedicated. You belong to a church, and you may even sing in the choir or teach Sunday school. You read your Bible and you say your prayers. You may even fast and tithe and try to live a good, clean life before your neighbors, your friends, your co-workers, or your classmates. You are a highly respected member in your community. You're kind, you're loving, you're honest and charitable, you're compassionate, you're industrious, and friend, you have the highest morals. You don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't gamble, you don't swear or use harmful drugs. You believe in the sanctity of marriage, and you're opposed to all forms of immorality. But tell me, friend, have you ever been born again? Have you, my friend? Have you ever been born again? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ told a very religious Pharisee named Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 3 that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, friend, if you've never been born again, then you're not ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ. No, you'd be left behind. With all your religious activity, your so-called good works, and high moral standing, if Jesus Christ were to come right now during this broadcast, you'd be left behind to suffer not only the terrible time of tribulation, but also the ultimate lake of fire for all eternity. Now perhaps someone is thinking, do you mean to tell me that God doesn't take note of my religious activity and my trying to do the best I can? No, my friend. I'm not trying to tell you anything other than what God's Word has to say. You say, do you mean to tell me that God, as He sits in heaven today, doesn't realize I'm trying to keep the golden rule and Ten Commandments? Well, again, my friend, I want you to know that God does notice everything you do, and everything you say, and everywhere you go. And here's what He has to say about you over in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6. For ye are all as an unclean thing, and all your righteousnesses, or good works and religious activities, are as filthy rags. Did you hear that, friend? This is what God says about you if you're depending upon your so-called good works and religious activities to be ready when the Lord comes or to go to heaven when you die. He tells you in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, for ye are all as an unclean thing, and all your righteousnesses or good works are as filthy rags. Are you still listening, radio friend? Or are you even now reaching for the knob to turn off the radio? Friend, I'm here today in love for your soul. And I'm not trying to offend you. I'm here to tell you the truth of God. I'm here to tell you that if you're not saved or born again when Jesus Christ comes again, you're going to lose your soul. You're going to die in your sins. And in John chapter 8 and verse 21, Jesus Christ says, if ye die in your sins, whither I go, ye cannot come. Now, friend, if you and I could do anything to either merit or inherit the kingdom of God, then why? Why did Jesus die? If we could get to heaven by baptism or doing so-called good works, then why did Jesus Christ die the ignominious death of Calvary's cross? No, friend, we can't do anything to save our own souls. Over in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, we read, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works. Did you hear that, friend? Salvation is a free gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Again, in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, we're told, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy, He saved us. Friend, in John chapter 19 and verse 30, the Lord Jesus Christ said, as He was about to die for our sins, it is finished. It is finished. He had completed the work that God had given Him to do. And now all we have to do is to believe it with all of our hearts. Not just intellectually, but we've got to believe it with our whole being. The very moment we do that, my friend, we are saved by the grace of God. Without good works or religious activity. Without baptism. Without trying to do the best we can. We are born again from above into the family of God the very moment we place our faith and trust in the shed blood of God's Son at Calvary's cross. Yes, and if we're saved and born again today, we are the only ones that are ready for the second coming of Jesus Christ for His own. Now, friends, you'll notice in our text for today that Jesus Christ says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Friend, remember this. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And the only way you can be prepared for either death or the Lord's return is to first of all acknowledge that you're a sinner. Admit that you can't do a thing to save your own soul. And then you must believe with all your heart that when Jesus Christ shed His precious blood and died on the cross of Calvary, He was dying for your sins. He was the just one dying for you and I, the unjust, so that He might bring us back to God. He knew no sin, not even guile in His mouth. He was holy, harmless, and undefiled. And yet, my friend, Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust. Why? So that He might bring us back to God. Now, friend, I don't know whether you realize it or not, but if you're unsaved, I say if you've never been saved and born again, you are in a far-off place as far as God is concerned. You have your back towards God, and you have your face towards the pit of hell. Friend, you're only a heartbeat from the pit right now. And if you were to die right where you're at, whether you're at home, whether you're in an automobile or in an institution, wherever you might be listening to my word here today, listening to my message regarding the second coming, I want you to know, my friend, if your heart were to stop beating this very moment, you would immediately drop into the pit of hell. You would weep, you would wail, you would grind your teeth, and you would remember throughout the countless ages of all eternity how you could have been saved, how you could have prepared to meet God, but you didn't do it. You thought you had plenty of time. You didn't think the Lord would come, but He did. But He did. And there you are. You're doomed and damned for a lost eternity, for no good reason, my friend, because God loves you. Friend, if you don't remember anything else I say today, remember this. God loves you. I read over there in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, how that God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Yes, I thank God today for His great heart of love. I think of that most memorable of all verses uttered by the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 3 and verse 16. Listen to this. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Friend, would you not be wise today? Would you not accept the love and the mercy and the grace of God expressed in the death of His Son before it's eternally too late? Yes, Jesus is coming, my friend. As sure as you're listening to this Voice of the Gospel program today, Jesus Christ is coming again. I remind you, my friend, that the most predominant doctrine taught in the Bible, the Word of God, is that relating to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Well, I thank God today that I'm ready. Yes, should the Lord Jesus Christ come to the air and call me home today, I would be in heaven throughout the endless ages of all eternity. But my friend, I can look back to a time when I accepted Christ, and that's the reason I'm going to heaven. Whether I die or when the Lord comes, I know it's going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. But my friend, if you've never been saved, if you've never trusted in the shed blood of Christ to take you into God's heaven, you're not prepared for the second coming of Jesus Christ. No, my friend, I thank God that I was humble enough to take my place as a lost and hell-deserving sinner in God's sight. And then I threw myself upon the mercy of God, and I accepted His Son, Jesus Christ, as my own and personal Savior. Sure, I had responded to the altar call when I was a young boy. I was baptized and later joined the church. I was religious and taught Sunday school, and I was what most people would classify as a nice, clean-cut young man. But friend, listen, I had never been convicted of my sin and my need for a Savior till back on June the 2nd of 1952. Remember this, friend, conviction of sin is just as essential to the salvation of your soul as is the blood of Jesus Christ. You must admit that you're lost before you can possibly be saved. Another thing, friend, you don't get saved to serve the devil either. Oh, no. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, we read that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Friend, as far as salvation is concerned, I can fool you and you can fool me, but we can't fool God. You recall in Matthew chapter 25, we read of 10 virgins. They all looked alike and they talked alike. And yet when the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, came, five went in with Him, and five were left behind. Tell me, friend, which of the virgins are you a type of? Are you like the foolish virgins who were never saved, even though they professed to be saved? Or are you a wise virgin, is the Holy Spirit of God within your so-called spiritual lamp of testimony? Well, my friend, as I say, you can fool me and I can fool you. We can't fool Him. Now, friends, as this broadcast comes to a close today, search your heart. Are you really saved? Have you really been born again? If not, then why not be ready for either death or the Lord's return by accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord right now? Don't put it off, friend. Tomorrow may be too late. I read over there in Proverbs 27 and verse 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." So, friend, if you'll just trust Christ right now with your soul, the Word of God, which cannot lie, says you'll be saved. You'll be born again. You'll be ready for the second coming of Christ. Yes, you'll be saved not only for time, but you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father, we bow in Thy presence to again thank Thee for Thy Son. We thank Thee that when He came to earth the first time, it was to die on the cross for our sin. But we thank Thee, our God, that when He comes to the air, which may be today, He's going to take we who are saved back home to heaven with Him. Oh, we thank Thee for the blessed hope we have in Christ, and our desire is to see others saved. So pluck the unsaved that are listening today as brands from the burning. Save them before it's eternally too late. We'll be careful to give Thee all the thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. Until our next broadcast, if the Lord doesn't come, I say, if the Lord doesn't come, until our next broadcast, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.